Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk on a beautiful July 30th, 2017. I apologize. I realized I misprogrammed the program this morning. It was set for earlier, but I was away. I think it's because I set it up last week after I finished the one when I was away, except this week I was away and I didn't have internet connection. So any rate, for those of you who tuned in and tried to download it, apologies, especially Karen, and let me know that it wasn't working. I'm like, oh, I didn't record it yet. And then I got home and it was like 8:30. I'm like, oh, no. At 8:30, I was in class. Actually, I was having coffee at the Omega Cafe, but I wasn't anywhere near what is that stuff called? Internet access. If you go to Omega, which is this retreat place upstate, and they have Wi-Fi and internet like in one place on the whole campus, which is the cafe. And it's, you know, you're like phoneless. It's really very fun because you don't have any tech, no technology. You're not hooked up. You can go there and get some. But my class started bright and early at 9, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to do, and I knew I would be home in time. So I'm home. So we're at Eclipse Week, folks. Well, we're moving forward into the Eclipse Week, and we have new and exciting things. We're also moving forward into Mercury's retrograde shadow. Mercury's going to station this during the middle of the eclipses, which, of course, is going to add a whole level of conflict and misunderstanding. And he actually stations next week on the 12th. But we are in his shadow, so you're going to start seeing your communication devices getting a little fritzy and your phone and your internet connections. So just remember, it's the retrograde shadow we're approaching. Now, interestingly, his station degree, where he's going to stop, is right on the eclipse that we're going to have at the end of the month. He's going to station at 28 Leo, right on the eclipse degree at 28 Leo. So we're in eclipse season, which started last week on the weekend. And what you want to do with eclipses is you want to be conscious of what you say and how you say it, because people can hear it in a completely different way than you intended, okay? And I had an example of that this week. Last week I used the a thing my mother used to say all the time. I mean, but she grew up in the 30s and 40s, right? She was born in 1930. Free, white, and 21, and I got a nice, very respectful letter from a listener saying, hey, 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 you know, kind of not a great thing to say. It's a little elitist. And she attached an article from Jezebel talking about all the movies where that had been used, that phrasing had been used, and its history and origins in the history of the world. And I was like, oh, I totally get it. Never thought of it. You know, it was one of those phrases my mother said. You know, she said, I can't stand liars and sneaks, you know, and any, you know, like, you know, there's like these childhood phrases that are in your brain. So that was one of them. And I'd never thought of it in the context of it being not such a great phrase to use these days. And of course, you know, it's a migration. It, you know, we learn, we see, we get new words. Words change. The meaning of words change over time. And the meaning of phrases change over time. But it also was a pointer outer. And thank you for the very kind letter. But also apologies to anybody who it kind of took a bit of back. But apparently it was a big popular phrase in the 30s and 40s with history and the Civil War, of course. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, wow, okay. Live and learn. So watch your words this week, because you might think you're saying something and the person who hears it can hear it in a very different way than the way you intended it. And I think my mother meant you're responsible for your choices. That's not what she said. She said the other phrase. So what you want to do with Mercury retrograde, especially because of the eclipses, okay, because they're combining, right? So Mercury, remember, Mercury is our messenger. He gives us the ideas, the details, the data. And because he's retrograde, we can very easily not hear correctly what he says. So if someone says something to you and you kind of go, wow, did you just say that to me? Before you go off and go, kind of take a moment and think about it and do like this woman did with me, wrote a very nice note saying, you know, I don't know if you realize, you know, what you said, or the impact of the words you had. Because the retrograde is happening with the eclipses, though, what can happen is you can also have an aha moment where you go, oh, wow, I never knew that before, right, like I did. But it also can be, oh, wow, I never knew that about you before, because Mercury retrograde likes to reveal secrets. And on eclipses, which are really hot times in the sky, when the sun goes away or the moon goes away, the magnetism doesn't come to Earth, which causes a little disturbance in the force, which allows us to have a little moment of, oh, ho, ho, ho. Now, these eclipses are very potent. The first one that we're having on the 7th next week on Monday is on the world axis. Now, world axis are points where everybody notices it. So it's 15 degrees of the fixed, and it's going to be at 15 Leo and Aquarius, obviously the full moon. So that's the emotional eclipse. So we're having the emotional buildup over the next 2 weeks, last week and this week, and we build the emotion. And then the second eclipse is happening at the end of the month, and it's at 29 Leo, and it's a new moon. But it's also the degree that Mercury's stationing at, 29 Leo, 28 Leo. And it also has Mars. The Sun and Mars are traveling together. So the Sun and Mars are kind of in warrior mode, because whenever Mars and the Sun are near each other, they're kind of feisty. And then, of course, we have the nodes of fate there, which are feisty. And then we have the opportunity for great misunderstanding or miscommunication, feisty. Or we have the opportunity for very clear communication. John McCain walking up and going, got everybody looking at me, thumbs down. No, I'm not voting for this thing. And then off he goes. So watch for the dramatic moment, the dramatic phrasing, the dramatic aha. This week promises to be particularly potent because we're having Uranus station. Now, Uranus is stopping and stationing Thursday the 3rd, and then immediately followed by the third and final square of Jupiter and Pluto on Friday the 4th. So we've got this little configuration in the heavens that we've been watching. Now, Uranus has been running along, blowing up things. He's now about to stop and go backwards. And he'll go backwards for about 6 months. But the point of it is, we want to recognize when he stops, the 5 days before and the 5 days after are particularly volatile, which means right now, okay? Because if Uranus stopping, we're going to really notice that, of course, he's part of that grand trine in fire with the Saturn and with the node of fate in Leo, okay? So we've got a lot of energy up there in the heavens kind of kicking up, and the grand trine in fire is going to have a leg of it stop. You know, kind of think of it as the part that's bulldozing your life, as a lot of us are feeling like our lives are being bulldozed, is now going to say, okay, I'll let you calm down. I'll calm down a little. So the forward motion of the crazy stops, and we go backwards, which is a good thing. Okay, so, and Uranus, of course, is very strong in Donald Trump's chart because his Sun and Uranus are joined. So the planet, in his case, is a natal configuration, so when a planet stops, it's a big deal. Plus, Donald was born on an eclipse, and this is an eclipse that involves the Sun and Uranus. So we're going to see a lot of activity in his world or in his leadership. And forward we go. So we've got an eclipse webinar that I'm going to be offering this Wednesday, the 3rd, or the 2nd, I don't know, whatever day it is. It's on the website. I just show up and answer my, what's on the list of things I'm supposed to do today? So we're having an eclipse webinar, which we'll be talking about the impact of these eclipses. They're very potent. The bigger one that happens at the end of the month is at 29 Leo. And that one, the last time we had this configuration where it covered the United States and only the United States, was 1776. And that's the one that the founding fathers used to launch the country or to declare independence, the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, they were Masons. Masons were astrologers. They laid out Washington, D.C. in the shape of the Virgo constellation because it's supposed to be about service. And, of course, the Masons were, do unto others as you want them to do to you. So they set up a chart for the United States that really has that as its story. There's an article on my website about why I think the U.S. Declaration of Independence chart was elected. Because no good Mason worth their salt wouldn't elect a chart. But if you look at that Ebenezer Sibley chart, that's the one I particularly like. There are other people, they make cases for the Scorpio or for this, and certainly the Continental Congress, you know, that's an important one. But this one is the saying to the king, we're done, we're out of here. And now, of course, 250 years later, we're about to have the Pluto return of the United States, which is when most countries have a major transformation every 250 years or less. Sometimes the Roman Empire, it went 500 years. But we're at a really big turning point. And this eclipse month promises to bring that up and have us see that in a whole new way. So, and it is a fire eclipse, and it does come in over Oregon and goes over South Carolina, running across the entire continent of the United States. Fire eclipses tend to bring volcanoes, earthquakes. You know, it's the nature of the eclipse energy, right? So when it was in Taurus a few years back, we had mad cow disease. So you watch for the eclipse's energy, and you watch where they enter and where they're at the highest part of the country, you know, because they, you know, obviously it's closer to the sun as the sun gets taken away. And the path of totality is about 70 miles wide, and it has, we'll talk more about this on the eclipse day, but it's definitely worth it. And for all of us, it's on our regulus. It's on the fixed star regulus. So it's asking us, where do we want to be kings or queens of our own lives? And what does that look like? And what is it? What is our heart's path? And how do we adjust our life to get to that place, right? So in my case, you know, work is great. I have wonderful friends. I have very noisy cats, but I like them. I'm working on health stuff. You know, my foot's a little crabby still from when I slipped in the cat vomit 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, whatever it was. And, you know, it swells and it hurts and it's all that. And I'm like, you know, I need to get my health in order. So I'm having a year of health. That's what I'm dedicating to. And, of course, the eclipse, the Leo house, one of them isn't my health house. And so all of us have to pick the area that we want to focus on and expand. And I mean, obviously, my client work is the seventh house too, but that's part of what I do already. So tune into the eclipse webinar. We'll give you a lot more, especially where it's landing in your chart and how to use the energy and particularly the configurations, because they're very potent. But this week it's the Uranus station and the Jupiter-Pluto square. So the Jupiter-Pluto square, we've had two already. We're having the third and final, and Jupiter's going to zoom off and leave Pluto behind. That was part of the big T-square that we had this year in the sky with the cardinal planets. As Jupiter leaves Pluto behind, he is going to have one more square to Uranus down the road a piece. But this is the third and final, so whatever the structures are that we've been arguing about or trying to change or trying to shift the energy of, this is going to be a big week for it, because Uranus stopping kind of blows up stuff, and Jupiter-Pluto square says you have to make a choice. Of course, we're in Mercury's shadow. We're in the eclipses. It's highly emotional. Think back to February of 16, not this February, but last one, because that's when the new moon happened that we're seeing the results of now, too. And then also back to November. November 9th, actually election day, when we had a surprise, or some of us had a surprise, and now we have the full moon where we see it in a different level. So hot doings in the sky, which means hot doings in your life. It is only a two-page week, but you're going to really feel it, rocking and rolling. And on my website, more stuff on the eclipse webinar. So let's talk about the moon. Let's get your moon calendars out. Big, nice up. I was up in the country. I sat on my front porch, not a rocking chair, just a lawn chair, but it still was nice. And looked at that beautiful Scorpio quarter moon last night. And so the moon in the first quarter was in Scorpio, which is what it's in today, and it'll go void tomorrow morning with a sextile to the Pluto. So today and Saturday, all really nice for learning new things, figuring out stuff. I was at an energy workshop with Donna Eden, which was really cool. I had a great time, learned all sorts of cool things. And then the moon tomorrow goes void at 7 in the morning. And it's going to be void all day long. But it's a Scorpio void. So it gets a lot of stuff accomplished, even though it doesn't necessarily always feel good. But it is, so it's a great time to wrap stuff up and get it out the door, or wrap stuff up, because the closing aspects are good, sextile to Pluto, and a nice kick of energy with that. Then the moon goes into Sag bright and early at 8 o'clock in the morning on the 1st, on Tuesday. And it's in Sag Tuesday, Wednesday, going void at 5:38 p.m. on Thursday, the day that Uranus stations. And it's going void with the trine to Uranus. So those are exciting days indeed. Watch what happens. The world, it should be busy news days, as we say here in the apartment. Oh, what's happening on the internet feed, okay? It goes void on Thursday night at 5:38 and enters Capricorn at 8:37 p.m. Thursday night. So it's in Capricorn the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, and then it goes void with a square to Uranus at 5:22 in the morning on August 6th, Sunday. It's void for 3 hours there, and then it enters Aquarius on the 6th, and it's in Aquarius for the full moon on the 7th, and then it goes void with a sextile to Uranus. So Mondays it's void, but it's still got a nice aspect, so finish up stuff and work on it. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, excellent days for getting things done. Thursday, Friday, a lot of separation energy with that moon square Uranus, but still okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday is Capricorn moon. So it's about old things and old structures and how we move. And then, of course, once it goes out of Capricorn into Aquarius, it's a little more freewheeling, and that's going to be on the 6th and the 7th until 3:07 on the 8th when it goes void with sextile to Uranus. The other features of this week are Venus enters Cancer. And she's going to enter Cancer on Monday night, and she's going to be in Cancer until, how long are you in Cancer? Oh, Venus, my girl, Venus is in Cancer through the 25th of August, 26th of August, 12:30 in the morning. So Venus in Cancer means that our love nature, our desire nature, is going to change every 2.5 days as the moon shifts signs, because the moon is, Venus is answering to the moon, Cancer, right? In the same way, earlier in this month, July, I don't even know what month I'm in, earlier in July, when the sun was in Cancer and Mercury was in Cancer and Mars was in Cancer, every day was a roller coaster because emotionally the moon shifted. So now Venus, our love nature, what we desire, don't expect to know what you want. Just know that it's going to be emotionally different because we're working with eclipses and because they're tied to the node of fate. It's where the sun and the moon meet, and then the dragon comes to eat it up, right? This is like big drama up there in the sky. So Venus is really a little wild because she's going to be feeling a lot of stuff. And so when we get to the eclipse, it's in Aquarius, right? So the moon in Aquarius is like, kind of. So it's an audience. It's detached. But when she's in Sag on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she's going to be a little out of control. And then when she's in Capricorn on Friday, Saturday, she's going to be a lot more structured and determined, and there's a right way and a wrong way to behave. Now, in my case, it's Capricorn, right? So I'm going, my uncle and my aunt have been married 50 years, so they're having a party for them. And I'm going to the middle of the country where it is conservative. And I have to be a good little liberal and keep my mouth shut. So my uncle and I had a huge whopping fight over Trump when he first got elected, and he said to me, give the guy a chance. And I said, I've lived in New York for 40 years. I know who this guy is. And then I kind of wrote him a nasty email, and then he wrote me a nasty one, which my assistant Rose said, don't read the email, because Rose sometimes filters them if they're really mean. She goes, your uncle wrote your really mean email. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, I don't think you should read it. I'm like, all right. So then she wrote him back, and he yelled at her too. So now we're having this party, right? So he writes me an email saying, you know, sorry for being so mean to you, kid. So I wrote back, no worries. I didn't even read the email. I said, you know, and frankly, I started it, you know, because you said give the guy a chance. And I was pretty snarky in my response to you about who he was. So I get that I threw the first punch. No worries. I just ducked and didn't read your email when you threw the second one back. And so I have to be conscious. Capricorn moon, it's my 12th house. I have to behave myself this weekend coming up, so we'll see how good I do. I have a vow. So I have avowed things. But anyway, so that's the moons this week. So they're pretty potent. And so Venus changes signs. She goes into Cancer. And, of course, Mercury, the next day on the 25th, he changes signs. And he goes into Virgo. Now, he's not going to be in Virgo forever. He's going to station on the 12th and go backwards in Virgo. And then on the 31st, he goes back into Leo of August. And then he stations to go direct on the 5th of September at 28 Leo on the eclipse degree. And then he goes forward again into Virgo again on September 9th, clearing Virgo on the 29th of September. So we're in the shadow. Prepare for miscommunications. Going to be happening in lives around you. Going to get, like this morning, I ordered breakfast. I said to go. They brought it on a plate. I ate it fast. It was, you know, it's workable. But they're not always going to be listening to you, right? They're just not always going to hear you. So Venus into Cancer, Mercury into Virgo. That makes it a little turbulent, but Mercury does like Virgo. He's happy there, except we're, of course, in the retrograde shadow, so he's really going to have fun playing with you. And then we have the Uranus and the – actually, Mercury went into Virgo last week. I take that back. I screwed that up. That was last week on the 25th. And then we have the Uranus station on the 3rd, and we have Friday – the Jupiter-Pluto square, and then Monday, the full moon eclipse. But we are in the build-up to the eclipse. With the Mercury station and all these planets shifting, do anticipate things coming out that you hadn't seen. So now let's talk about what else is going on in the sky. We have the sun running from 7 Leo to 13 Leo. So if you have planets at those points, they're going to be activated. And up this week, big in the sun's land, is a couple aspects to Neptune. On the 30th, he talks to him with a quintile, and he has an inconjunct on August 5th. So there's kind of a quality of seeing the dream or kind of looking at the dream in a different way. And sometimes what this is, you know, you have the dream and it comes true, but it's not really what you thought it would be. Or you have the dream and you kind of see it in a different way, because there's a shifting of the energy, right? And it's looking at the dream and saying, you know, this is what I thought the dream would be, and here I am. You know, and it's a Capricorn moon, so in my uncle's case, you know, married for 50 years. What was the dream when he got married? I was 12 years old. I was a junior bridesmaid in the wedding. But now he's 30 years out, 50 years out. You know, he's got 3 kids, and they all have kids, and spouses and houses and jobs and dogs and life, and, you know, it's kind of a measure of life. We also have Pallas Athena squaring the sun, which may say to you, gee, on the 1st of August, what's your new vision? A lot of energy in the sky about redefining your vision for your life, saying this is where I got to, this is where I'm going next, this is what I want to have happen. Mercury, of course, is very slow because he's slowing down because he's going to station, right? So he's going pokey. So he only is going from 4 Virgo to 8 Virgo, 9 Virgo, right? That's not a lot of Virgo. It's not a lot of tracking. You know, sometimes he does 3 degrees a day. This is less than 1. You know, it's 4 degrees in 7 days, right? He's got a trine to Pallas Athena saying, who do we want to partner with? He's got a contraparallel to Neptune, August 1st, August 2nd. So you're going to hear things that you're not going to hear right. Right? Just double check. Don't go jumping off. You know, be nice. Write a nice email. Double check what you heard. Or, you know, get your food delivered on a plate and eat it fast because you don't have the to-go wrapper. But understand lots of miscommunication this week. He does join with Vesta on the 2nd, which wants him to kind of redo the housing or the home or to kind of make the nest a little better. But he also has a lot of oppositions this week. So a lot of times people are going to be saying, I don't really want that, or being critical, because it is Venus, Mercury, and Virgo. So Mercury and Virgo can be a little critical, and it just kind of comes up with the problems. You know, so there was an article I was reading on the internet, and it was, you know, like taking negative people and turning them into positive people. And you may find this week that everybody's a little negative and they don't want to be turned into positive. They want to tell you why they're unhappy. And that's the and that's okay. But you may also go, you know what, I don't really want to hear this. All right, Venus in Gemini the first part of the week, and then she migrates into Cancer on the 31st. And she gets up to 7, so she's going close to a degree. And, yes, you hear Barkley hollowing in the background. Although, thank you to the person who told me that he doesn't really make that much noise. You don't hear him. I hear him, but he doesn't sound too bad on the phone. Hi, Barkley. I'm right over here. Come on over and I'll pet you. We've decided, I read up on blind cats, and it says talk to them a lot. I think he thinks I'm talking to him because, obviously, you are not talking because you're listening to the radio show. And I will pet him in a minute when I hang up with the show. Venus is contraparallel Saturn. So there's a big separating, emotional separation on August 2nd. Kind of watch for it because it's going to be right before that Uranus station. And remember, when planets pivot and stop in the sky, we become very aware of them. Uranus is in fire. So we can expect some darn big fires to take place with this energy because it's just fiery, passionate, explosive energy. And, yes, that can translate into terrorist attacks, but it also can be just big old fires. Venus opposite Juno, a lot of separations around relationships on August 4th. And also the goddess of discord is a little active this week because Venus is working with her. Now, Venus is working with the goddess of discord in a positive way. So that usually means that whatever you get annoyed with will get you doing something you should be doing, right? You know, you get all annoyed and you're, all right, well, then I'll just take care of it. How many times do we do things out of being annoyed or being angry? We use that as our motivation, right? So this week when Venus and Eris meet up on the 5th, you may find that you're kind of annoyed, but actually it's an okay annoyance because it gets you moving. Mars, he's hanging out at 6 Leo, tracking with the Sun. Remember, the Sun's running from 7 to 13. Mars is running from 6 Leo to 10. So the two guys are hanging out close to each other. When Mars and the Sun are combust, it makes us all act like honorary Aries. So we all have a little bit shorter temper. We have a little more fuse. You know, I was trying to get to the Port Authority this week, Friday, to get to the bus, to get to the road, to Omega, and it was kind of like honk, 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 honk. I mean, it was just a craziness. So when we have the Sun Mars, everybody's just a little more impatient, a little less kind. So kind of watch for that. Mars does have a sesquiquadrate with Saturn, which is a frustrating aspect. Feels very frustrated by not being heard or seen or not being able to do what he wants. And then, of course, Mars is biquintile Neptune. So he's going to come up with a brilliant idea. And he's going to say, this is my plan. And you're going to go, what's your plan? So you kind of want to watch for that because it's probably not a great idea, but he thinks it is, okay? Mars Neptune. Or drunk people say things. That's another thing you want to watch this week. Alcohol and drugs, very potent. A lot of overdose opportunities for those who do those kinds of drugs. Mars is square to Pallas Athena on the 4th, allowing you to see a pattern you hadn't seen before. And then there's a recognition of relationships on a different level on August 5th with Mars biquintile to Juno and an expansion. Jupiter, of course, third square to Pluto on August 4th, and that takes place at 1731 Libra Capricorn. So if you have planets at that point, that gets activated and woken up. The Uranus station happens at 2831, and it comes off the station retrograde with a quintile to Ceres, which is a high creative energy. Now, it's parked at the degree all week, so that can increase anxiety, increase stress, increase all sorts of things of a Uranian, Crass, Casey, change, fire, passionate, wow, volatile, match energy, Aries energy, right? Big week for that. Vesta squares the nodes of fate on the 1st. A lot of moving. A lot of people I know are moving this month. And she also is sesquiquadrate to Eris on the 5th. So it's kind of like, this isn't really what I wanted. Ceres has an aspect to the nodes of fate on the 1st of August. So there's a whole energy of you can't go home again. And you can't. So you have to figure out where you're going next. And that's the job of the eclipse. So tune in next week. I'll probably broadcast early next week because I'll be in Missouri. And talk to you then. In the meantime, have a great week. And look on the website, AstroAnn or AnnOrtley.com, for the information on the webinar, on the upcoming eclipses, and how they impact your chart. Take care and have a great week. I'm going to go pet Barkley right now. Bye-bye.